Warning. The program you're about to hear is absolutely filthy and thoroughly disgusting. Furthermore, listening to it will immediately turn you into a bottom.
Listen, when it's messy, it's a problem for everyone in the room.
Correct.
All 10 of them.
I'm proud to declare the Adam Sank Show and his ass open to the wind.
Ass open to the wind.
This is fuckery. This is all fuckery. Fuckery, fuckery, fuckery.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now,
give a warm round of applause to my friend and yours, Adam Sank.
Surprise. We're back. At least for the next hour, anyway. I'm Adam Sank. Welcome to the Derek and Romaine Show at DNRstudios.com and the DNR Cast app. We are recording this special one-day-only return episode of The Ass on Sunday, August 18th, 2023. It will air sometime in October, I believe, when Derek and Romaine are on their fabulous DNR Europe cruise. Go to DerekandRomaine.com for details. After it airs for DNR listeners, I will post it to Apple Podcasts so all you non-DNR subscribers can hear it. As always, leave us your ratings and reviews. You know, the show still exists forever on Apple Podcasts, so you can still leave a review. Email me at adam@adamsank.com. Like the Adam Sank Show Facebook page. I am always posting shit to that. Get your official ass merch at adamsank.com. Get vaccinated and boosted. There is a new variant and a new booster coming out just in time. So make sure you get your booster. And of course, here on The Ass, we stand with Ukraine. Today, we are recording this for the first time from my very own apartment in the Hell's Kitchen neighborhood of Manhattan. And I have not one, but two very special people here with me. First of all, it is the return of my intrepid co-host, the not-so-chubby Chorizo, everyone's favorite cum slut, Steve Cesaro.
Hello, everybody. It's so nice to be back. Do I get an applause?
Yeah, normally we get applause.
I want an applause. Fuck, I don't get an applause. All right, well, it's fine. You know, I was just thinking, have you even been kicked off Facebook since the last time we recorded this show?
No, Facebook has been far more tolerant of my antics over the past year.
So they haven't really missed you because you haven't gone off the socials, at least Facebook, for a while.
Yeah, but I think not all the listeners are on Facebook. And if they are, they don't necessarily follow the Adam Sank Show, even though I have told them to again and again. Mm. I need to pull up my Shade Bell app. So
yeah,
that we have that
missed the
handy. But Steve, tell us what you've been up to for the past 7 months since the listeners have last heard you.
Well, I've been instructed to say that I'm a spy. So for all intents and purposes, or wait, if I said that all intent and purposes.
Very good.
I am a spy. I've been traveling the world. I've been to 1, 2, 3, 4 different countries. I've been to every coast in the U.S. I don't sleep anymore. I very much worry that I'm going to fuck up my job, but I am here because I happen to be working in New York City until the 27th. So that's why I'm here.
Fabulous. The truth is, all of that's true, except he's not a spy. He is the, what are we calling you now? Chief of staff. For a very famous person.
Yes.
And that's all we can say about that.
That's it.
So congratulations, Steve. I think it's wonderful that you are doing this with your life.
Yeah.
That you're hobnobbing with the rich and famous. But also here at my kitchen table, and this is the first time she's ever been in this apartment, it is the one and only Romaine Patterson.
It is me. Hi.
It does feel weird not to have the applause.
I'm sorry. You know what? If I had known,
I
would have put it on the
button
bar. I
tell you that we
bar.
Needed applause. Yeah. Romaine packed up her virtual studio,
yeah,
schlepped it in from mm-hmm. her New Jersey farm, and is sitting at my kitchen table acting as our JB, if you will.
Yeah, I know. I almost called JB and said, hey, let's go to Adam's house.
Aww.
But then I'm like, I don't know what's even going on with JB these days.
Really?
I haven't heard from him. Yeah, I gotta. Oh, look, he found applause. Applause.
Oh, look at that. Steve's got applause on his phone.
Thank you.
It kind of sounds like people screaming.
A little bit.
Like a tragedy.
A little bit.
I hope JB is well. I've also lost
too.
Touch.
I miss him. I miss him a lot.
I miss him too. But I'm thrilled that you are here. And since you are here, why don't you give us a live version of Ass Open to the Wind?
Ass Open to the Wind. Stick it in. Here I am. Stick it in. Here I am. Stick it in, right?
No,
ass Open to the Wind. Here I am. Stick it in.
No. It's Ass Open to the Wind. Stick it in.
Here I am.
There's,
really? That's the order?
There's an A-B rhyme scheme.
Ass Open to the Wind. Stick it in. Here I am.
Applause.
Oh, shit.
Oh, well, he was not ready.
See, it's hard when you have to do it yourself.
But, you
thank
know,
you.
I eventually, not so close to me. I eventually found that clip, the original for you.
I know, we had both
yeah.
in our board. I yeah. like the original the best because you it sound is. Like pissed and judgy.
Well, you know what it is? Do you know where that clip originally came from?
Craigslist?
So, yes. So we used to do this segment called Let's Get Personal Fridays where we read personal ads. And I'm almost certain that this particular ad, I was reading it word for word. And, or maybe I wasn't. Maybe I had just read it and then this was my reaction to it. But basically it was a guy who wanted to leave his door unlocked,
right.
have someone come in. He'd be like, you know, doggy style ass up in the air and just waiting for someone to come in.
Steve doesn't know anything about that.
You're reading my personal posts.
Oh, it was your ad?
Blaine, it wasn't me. I promise it wasn't me. I'm really sorry.
It was. But yeah, that's what I remember yeah. is that you were like sort of mocking him. Like,
yeah.
this guy's just like
he's a
ass
whore.
Open to the wind.
Right.
Stick
here,
it in. Here I am. Yeah. Like, that's basically what he was doing.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never actually done that. But I do have friends who shall remain nameless.
He's a spy. He's a spy.
Who have done so.
Really? You are worried that they're going to murder you?
Well, yes.
What if they're
that's
ugly?
That's part of the
but
thrill.
But also, like, what if, like, some stupor guy that you never would sleep with in a million years is the person who just comes in and sticks it in?
Well, I think that's part of the thrill, too,
I think
right?
it is, too. Yeah. I think when you're in yeah. that state, when you really just want to be used like an object, I think part of the thrill mm-hmm. is that you're not even discriminating.
What no. if I came in and stuck it in? You wouldn't even know.
With a dildo.
Yeah, I could come in with my strap on and just go to town.
One, I don't think you would do that. So
you never know. I do a lot of crazy shit.
Sure. Oh, my God. Well,
I don't think it's something you would enjoy, Romaine. Do you want to be that close to a man's asshole?
I mean, I don't think I want to be that close to a man's asshole, but it might be fun to degrade a man like that.
Sure.
That might be
there
fun.
There is power in
there, it. Yeah, that might be fun.
Well, it took us about 3 minutes to get to this level of discourse. Welcome back to the ass. We've missed you. This has been a crazy fucking summer, y'all.
Why?
Well, first of all, record-breaking heat.
It has been very warm.
Natural disasters up the ass, like wildfires yep. in Canada, horrible, devastating wildfires in Maui.
Oh, it makes me so sad.
As we speak, Southern California and the Baja Peninsula is about to get hit by its first tropical storm in 80 years.
It's crazy.
There's going to be catastrophic flooding. I don't want to upset anyone, but I think pretty much the world is ending.
I mean, you're not wrong.
So enjoy it while you can. Also this summer, we've had not one, not two, not three, but four Trump indictments.
Amazing.
Those have been glorious.
Just fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. We've had Barbie Mania.
That was fun.
Really the only fun thing of the summer that's like, you know, sort of a national event.
Yep.
I didn't love the movie as much as everyone else did, but
you didn't love Barbie?
I appreciated Barbie.
Yeah. I think, you know
I
what?
I didn't enjoy every minute of it.
I agree with that because I thought the movie was kind of stupid in a lot of places. But it was a movie that really made me think. After I left that movie, I spent a lot of time thinking about what it is to be a woman in today's society, what it is to have a daughter in today's society,
yes.
like the messages we share with our children as we're raising them. I thought about all of those things. And then Iris and Romy and I did a thing where we asked each other who we identified with in the movie.
Mm.
And that was fascinating.
Who did you identify with?
I identified with Weird Barbie.
Of course.
Yeah.
Kate McKinnon's character.
Yeah. And
have you seen it yet, Steve?
I haven't.
Oh.
It's worth seeing.
It is.
For me, what's been really fun about it, aside from the fact that it is like a really feminist movie disguised as a kid's movie, it's a scathing commentary on the patriarchy and on sexism and misogyny. But aside from that, I just love how into it everyone is. And, Patrick and I went and saw it and we were dressed as Ken and everyone in the theater we saw it with who was an adult was dressed as Barbie or Ken or one of the other characters. And I can't remember another time like that since like Star Wars
Rocky
when people
Horror,
got that or Rocky Horror yeah. right like it's kind of fun when everyone just gets silly and shares like a little bit of whimsy.
So I live way out in Jersey and in a very suburban kind of area, and what I loved about going to Barbie was the teenager girls who all got dressed up and then made their boyfriends get dressed
up.
Too.
I saw straight guys there dressed up too.
There were so many straight guys.
Yeah. It was cute.
It's Jersey.
And I would have
there.
Killed to get the point of view of one of those teenage boys, like what they thought of the movie.
They all became gay.
Well, and the last big update of the summer is I got verified on Instagram.
What? What?
Much to my shock.
Good for you.
And I don't mean I paid for it. I mean I got like real verification.
Wow.
I submitted for it, and they ask you to submit links to press articles about yourself to prove that you are like a somebody. And I, you know, I have some articles.
Adam, over you the past are a somebody.
20 years.
You don't need Twitter.
And I submitted and I got my blue check mark.
Hey-o.
That's amazing.
So excited. I know.
Oh, I got that randomly for Facebook a long time ago.
Oh, good for you.
And I was like, I don't know how I did it. Derek didn't get it. He was mad.
Oh.
He was really jelly. Don't tell him I said that, but he was. And I don't know how I got it.
That is some shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you should get it because you are you're in the world of entertainment. Like people who, especially who have a long track record of being on the air, should be verified. Journalists are verified. Podcast hosts should be verified. But I never was. I never was on Twitter. I never was on Facebook. Now I am on Insta and automatically Threads. And I'm all about Threads. If you haven't joined yet, it is the new Twitter.
I am on Threads.
It is so easy to join. You just join from your Instagram profile.
What is on the Threads? I have not
it's
actually.
It's basically like Twitter. A new version of Twitter.
Is it trying to be Twitter?
Yes. But it doesn't have all the bells and whistles yet. And it also doesn't have all of the hatred and like.
What about the pornography?
No, there's no pornography.
Oh, well then
same rules as. Same rules as Insta and Facebook. You can show butt. I showed my butt.
I actually don't watch porn. Did you know this about me?
Yes, we've talked about this. You just enact
it. I don't like
it.
Porn either.
No, yeah, not my thing.
It's not my thing either. I get bored. Yeah.
Me too. I'm like, why?
I'm like, I'd rather be having the sex than watching it.
I don't want to
watch
see your
it, but only like once or twice a week. I don't get horny the rest of the time.
Wow.
Anyway, speaking of Barbie and things that we watched recently, it is time for recommended viewing. Hit it, Gail.
I hate this segment. Who gives a fuck what anyone else is watching on TV? This shit sucks.
Thank you, Gail. I hope Gail is listening to this. So I have three things to recommend. So before I go into my long rant, let's start with Steve.
So I have one thing to recommend, and it is the end of summer, early fall, and we all know what time that is, and that is Big Brother. This is the 25th season of Big Brother.
Yes.
I love it. And
I like Big Brother, too.
I love Big Brother. So
I
want
to go on that show so bad.
Me too. You know, they should have a podcast edition where it's all podcast hosts. Probably not me because I'm not verified like the two of you. However, I think it'd be a lot of fun. Frankie Grande came up for a little remix at the beginning along with some other stars. There's also some great surprises on there.
Is this celebrity Big Brother?
No, just regular Big Brother, but there's sort of pseudo celebrities, I would say, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's fun. There's twists and turns. Expect the unexpected. It's the 25th season, and I thought we weren't going to get our chance to see it because of the writer's strike, but they said Unscripted is allowed to continue, so they are back on a little late, but back on the season. Yeah.
Yes, we will all be watching a lot of reality TV over the next 6 months because of the writer's strike and the actor's strike, which I support, by the way. Look, that cunt just turned my fan off again. So I posted about this on Facebook once. I live across a courtyard here in Manhattan from someone who has the same fan as me. A ceiling fan, combination ceiling fan and light. And every time I turn my fan on, she turns it off. And I've had it.
Is it an evil fan?
And there's a way to fix this, but he won't do it out of just taking a stand.
It's not easy to fix it. Someone has to go into the fixture itself, and there's a 3-digit code that needs to be. Anyway, back to recommended viewing. So the first thing I'm going to recommend is going to be familiar to anyone who ever listened to The Ask, because it's a story we've talked about dozens of times. And in fact, we have a special bumper for it. Hit it, Romain.
Is she a sweet, young, lovable orphan? Or is she an evil dwarf in disguise? Time now for your Natalia update.
So as you all know, I've been obsessed with this story for years. For those of you who somehow missed it, the basic facts are that in 2010, a couple in Indiana named Michael and Christine Barnett adopted a disabled little person whom they believed to be a 6-year-old Ukrainian orphan. Almost immediately, they became convinced that the orphan, Natalia, was not only much older than 6, but also a crazed sociopath intent on harming them and their 3 other children, which is basically the exact plot of the 2009 horror movie Orphan. Through a dubious legal proceeding, they had her re-aged. The parents had her re-aged to 22 in 2012. And shortly thereafter, they left her to fend for herself in this shabby little apartment that provided no accommodations for her disabilities. This is a girl who has trouble walking. And they moved to Canada. Now, depending on whom you believe, Natalia was either 9 years old or 23 years old when they abandoned her in this house. But either way, she was unable to care for herself. The Barnetts, who eventually divorced, were both charged with abandonment in separate trials. And this six-part docuseries spends most of its time focusing on the trial of the father, Michael, who also granted the filmmakers numerous and lengthy interviews with the producers. By the way, the name of this is The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. It aired on Investigation Discovery, but you can also watch it on HBO Max. So the problem with this docuseries is that Michael Barnett is batshit crazy. He's one of the creepiest people you'll... Did you watch it, Romaine?
I haven't, but now I really want to.
He's one of the creepiest people you'll ever encounter. He's deeply histrionic, melodramatic, prone to fits of crying, screaming, pounding the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You really hate him from almost the first moment he's on screen. And his kooky antics make for compelling viewing in a car crash kind of way, but they don't shed a whole lot of light on the truth of the case. So by the end of it, you're not really going to learn a whole lot more than we already know. But I will say, as a viewer, regardless of how old she was or is, what they did to her was criminal. If someone is disabled and unable to care for themselves, you do not leave them to fend for themselves in a home that isn't even accommodating.
Here's my question. If she is older or not older or whatever, why didn't they put her into some kind of institution
right.
that could actually help her with her whatever mental illness she might
right.
be suffering from?
They did not
from,
avail themselves of any social services for her. And also,
and they were her legal guardians, no matter what.
They adopted her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was no evidence other than their testimony that she was A, older than she was supposed to be, B, a sociopath. There's no evidence of that.
But what about the neighbors? See, this is where I sort of maybe side with the other people that were in the like the neighbors and stuff. And they're like, no, she's crazy. She would manipulate us and we'd catch her in the midst of manipulation
well,
and getting us to
I
do things for her.
I think she was manipulating the adults around her after she was abandoned because she needed stuff and she was trying to get what she needed.
But that's a learned behavior. So she learned that before she got to those people.
Have you ever met a teenage kid, though? They're so manipulative.
Thank you. Exactly. And also, her parents, her adoptive parents were psychotic. So yeah. She could have learned it from them. Anyway, it's not a great docuseries, but if you are interested in this case, as I certainly am, then watch it. Another docuseries that I strongly recommend is Last Call, When a Serial Killer Stalked
it's
New York.
So good.
Yeah, I'm going to put a star on my little sheet. Mm-hmm.
You know, I always love true crime stories. But this is so much more than that because it tells the story of the murder and dismemberment of four gay men that happened in the New York City metro area in the early 90s and the panic that ensued and the investigation into finding the killer. But it's more than that because it's much more about the homophobia and bias that was part of the NYPD at the time and to a lesser extent the other law enforcement entities that should have been working harder and faster to solve this case and would have had the victims not been gay. It's interesting. This Gilgo Beach serial killer case that's going on right now, it has similarities because just as his victims were sex workers who not enough people cared about or bothered to find once they disappeared, these were gay men who were in the closet, cut off from their families, didn't have advocates pressing the police department to say, hey, when are you going to solve this crime? So I'm not going to tell you what happens or whether the killer was ever caught, but it's a fascinating snapshot of New York City in the early 90s, a time when I didn't live here. I was in college then and for a little while living in Atlanta. But that's it's so well done.
It's really, really good. I agree with you on this, Adam. I think one of the most fascinating parts about it was the history lesson. Like there was a real gay history lesson about New York City. Cause you think, oh, New York City, they love gay people there. That's like such a welcoming, wonderful place. And always has been. Not so much. And for me, having dealt with a really violent gay crime in 1998, I didn't realize how little time had passed between this kind of stuff in New York City and what happened with Matthew Shepard.
Right.
And so it was pretty fascinating to me to see, you know, from early 90s to late 90s, what really changed and transpired for the gay community when it came to police enforcement and things like that.
And they talk about Matthew in the series and about how his death really did change things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in a big way.
At least for a time. I mean, part of what's so depressing about the docuseries is they make this point that in some ways we're right back where we were then.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But the third thing I'm going to recommend is the one I just watched on Hulu. It's new. It's called Queenmaker, The Making of an It Girl. I don't know why I watched this because I thought it was going to be about the least interesting topic to me, which was all of these women in the early 2000s who were famous for no reason. I'm talking about Paris and Nikki Hilton, Tinsley Mortimer, Casey Johnson. These were the people that were always on Page Six, always on Gawker.com. They were literally famous for no reason, but they were very famous. And Gawker was instrumental in that. There was also a website at the time called Park Avenue Peerage that would follow these socialites around and track them and report on their every move. So it starts out being about this sort of socialite media phenomenon of the early 2000s, but then it changes. You find out about who was behind the website Park Avenue Peerage, which is a big surprise. And then you find out even more about that person, and it's a bigger surprise. So that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil anything, but it is a fascinating documentary about identity, about whom we worship in this society and why. About how, you know, whiteness, thinness, wealth, all of those things are put on a pedestal while everything that's not that is pushed down. It has a lot of important things to say, and it's well made. So The Queenmaker, The Making of an It Girl on Hulu.
You know what's fascinating about this in my work as a spy? That I get to see, Romy's like, really, Steve? I get to see this other world of people who are psychotic, which I'd never seen. And I almost told you this story the other day, but we got distracted with another story. But being followed is a real thing. And then what happens is when they find out who the spy is in the circle, then the spy gets followed. So I have now been followed. I have now, either the original person was followed and I'm followed afterwards.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I got followed the other night.
Like stalked?
Yes. It was super bizarre. And the person and the other three people in the car where they got out, they're like, why are you running? You know that you're in this because you want us to see you. You want us to be around you. You've never gotten mad before. Like,
and this was because
bizarre.
Of your association with
Correct.
The celebrity for whom you work.
Yeah. And it was really weird. And so I'm just like walking down in the area of New York that I am, literally just doing random streets. And this car speeds up with the same people. They stop to see where I'm going. They try and figure out where I'm going. And they speed up through another. I'm just doing one-way streets. It's insane. These
Can you imagine if that was your everyday?
Well, I mean, I live it not as me, but I live it with the person.
But in the case of these women, they wanted that. They were cultivating
Why would anybody ever want that? It's awful.
I mean, most of them wound up miserable and or dead because of it. So good stuff to watch. I want to pivot and do a little self-promotion, if I may.
Sure.
Because I have a show.
You do?
That's happening right now. Not a TV show, but a one-man stage show called Bad Dates. That I'm about to do my fourth New York City performance at the Stonewall Inn on August 24th. The first three are sold out, were sold out. The fourth one is three tickets away from being sold out. I'm adding two more dates in October, the 7th and 14th, which will probably be before this airs. But then for all you people in South Florida, I will be taking the show to Wilton Manors, to the Foundry, November 5th through 15th. Somewhere in there, I'll be doing 10 shows. At the Foundry. And you can go to ronnielarsen.com. That's RONNIELARSEN.com for tickets and information. It'll also be on adamsank.com. Thank you, Steve. This is a show that I'm very proud of. It is, without giving too much away, it's the story of many, many bad dates, bad hookups, bad relationships. And it's the first time I've ever done a show where not all of it is meant to be funny. Some of it's the opposite of funny.
You know, and my personal review of Adam Sank's show, I saw it opening night. I have to say, I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't realize that there was a story aspect of the show, which we had talked about. And there's so many different parts that I identify with because of my own personal experience or because of my husband's personal experience, which I talked to Adam a little bit about. It's funny. It's sweet. Parts of it are heartbreaking. And at the very end, you're like, oh, you go away not only laughing at the experience that you just had with the group of people in that theater, but you laughed, you had a great time, you learned something, and you were able to connect it to something personal in your life, which I think is why it's building up is because it's not just a moment to laugh. It's a moment to laugh about something that you can connect with.
Steve, can you post exactly what you just said online, please?
Can you send me the recording and I will do that?
Yes.
I can do that.
That was a great review. Yeah. I also got a great review from Lavender After Dark, but I think Steve's was even better. So thank you, sir.
I am Lavender adjacent.
You have been known to wear lavender.
Sometimes.
And to spray lavender on your hole.
I have.
But I've been very touched by the support I've gotten from family and friends and the fact that it keeps selling out. I did not expect that. And really, Romain, the secret to selling out a show is disappear for 4 years.
Yeah.
Don't do any
and
shows.
And then people are like, oh, wait, we really missed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. No, I know how that
funny.
Is. So what are you saying? I should just disappear for 4 years
take the
and,
podcast
then, and
off
see
the
what
air.
Happens?
Yeah. Go away for a decade.
Pretend to go into retirement.
There God forbid. So, wow, we're like halfway done, right?
Yeah, all we're right. about 25 minutes in.
So
yeah.
I thought now we would kind of talk about, since we've been off the air for 7 months, I thought we'd catch up a little.
Okay.
Yeah, I like
with the
this.
Big stories that have, you know, been in the news, and some of them are going to be bummers and some of them are going to be fun. So let's start with a bummer.
Oh, okay.
This story that I'm about to tell you is, this was as of June 2nd. So it could be even worse by now. But as of June 2nd, more than 530 anti-LGBTQ bills have been proposed across the country.
Hmm.
If you have the sad trombone, you can play it though. Yeah. There's a real intense backlash happening against us. And
it's happening in my own town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In my town, they are trying to ban the pride flag from all government buildings and all this kind of crazy stuff. And I live in a kind of conservative town, but not that bad. I mean, it's still liberal New Jersey. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's happening on the local level. It's mm-hmm. happening on the state level.
Happening in school.
Schools are a huge battleground. And this is orchestrated and intentional. The GOP has figured out that this is a winning issue for them. In terms of fundraising, first and foremost, but also in terms of getting horrible people elected to office. And the bulk of the attacks have been on trans people. Mm. This notion that doctors who provide gender-affirming care that has been approved and dictated by the American Medical Association, the Pediatric Association, all of these are accepted proper medical practices, that this is somehow child abuse, that it's grooming children. They love to use the word grooming, which is...
What does that mean? It just feels so...
Well, grooming is supposed to mean when an adult prepares a minor for sex, meaning seduces them, befriends them, gains their
R.
trust.
R. Kelly is a groomer.
R. Kelly is a, yes, classic
perfect
groomer.
Perfect example of a groomer.
100%.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Michael Jackson. Mm. If you believe the stories as I do, you gain their trust, you spoil them, you alienate them from their parents, and you molest them. That's what a groomer is. A doctor who provides gender affirming care is not a groomer. There's nothing to do with sex. That's what they don't seem to understand. They conflate being trans with some kind of sexual activity. It has nothing to do with sex. It is an identity. And it has nothing to do with genitals. They're out there going, they're removing children's genitals. No, they're not. No child is having genital surgery. That's not even recommended by any association. No doctor would do that. What is happening in some cases, if the child and the family and the doctor in consultation decide it's the right thing to do, is sometimes they're getting hormone therapy
and usually
or puberty
a psychologist
blockers.
Or a therapist is involved as well.
It
and
takes
it doesn't
a lot,
happen
doesn't
overnight.
It?
It's a long process. Surgery is never recommended before the age of 18, but this message has somehow resonated with the right wing, and it's very effective. And so these bills are being passed across the country. As I said, more than 530, 68 of them have been enacted into law. And it's not going to stop with trans people. Trans people, you know, they're using as sort of the gateway, but they're not going to just be like, but we're going to let the gay, bisexual, and lesbian people. No, they're going to fucking go after us.
Yeah.
And as Romain said, they already are with symbols like the rainbow flag and like
books
in school.
Yeah.
Book banning is huge right
that
now.
That is what's crazy. That's like, you learn that in school. Like, people that throw books away are psychotic and they're doing it. I'm like, but you learn this.
Well,
as a kid, like the moment people start.
But in these states where they're doing these book bannings, this is what slays me as a parent. So your kid is not old enough to read about a kid having two dads.
Right.
But they're old enough to carry a child and have a baby if they get knocked up.
That's right.
So, like, it just, like, is a child capable of understanding sex and therefore can have a baby? Or are they not capable of understanding, same-sex relationship? No. Like, it makes zero sense.
It's just, I don't get it.
A related story to this is from July 22nd. So San Diego Pride is in, I think, August. And so in July, this little library, the Peñasquitos branch of the San Diego Public Library, they created a little Pride display of, like, books for kids. That I don't even think for kids. I think just books that celebrate Pride about LGBTQ topics. The kind of book Romaine was just talking about, like someone with two dads, or, you know,
Heather Has Two Mommies, those kind of books.
Or novels.
And sometimes it's, you know, teenage books for, like, you know, young adults, things like that.
Yeah.
Novels involving queer characters. So these two right-wing assholes decided that they were going to check every single one of those books out of the library at the same time and basically keep them to prevent anyone else from checking them out. And as a result, 180 people, mostly San Diegans themselves, donated more than $15,000 to the library system.
Wow.
And then the city's going to match that, and that's going to provide tons of money for more LGBTQ themed materials and programming for the library. So they fucked up. They thought they were doing something.
They don't think they fucked up. They think they did it exactly right.
Exactly.
I love it.
So there are people fighting back, but I mean, listen, my message today, if there's one important thing to take away from this podcast, other than see my show, Bad Dates, is we have to fucking push back. We have to raise our voices. We have to organize. Listen, if you're in a town like Romaine's where people are fucking with the schools, fucking with the libraries, fucking with local elections, run. Run for school board. Run for city council.
Or show up at the city council meetings and fight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You can't ignore it.
Fascism, you know, if you just let it creep, it will creep until it's taken over everything. All of this dovetails with a terrible Supreme Court ruling on June 30th, which literally is like the heart of Pride season. The conservative majority ruled that week that a Christian graphic artist does not have to design wedding websites for same-sex couples. Basically, this means that anyone out there who runs a business can refuse service to a queer person because it conflicts with their religious beliefs or whatever. And not only is this decision so wrong and contrary to the Civil Rights Act and basic fairness and also the Equality Act that Congress passed last year, but also this bitch, Lori Smith, this designer, was never asked to design a website for a same-sex couple. This was a theoretical situation. Yeah. And the case should have never reached the Supreme Court. A lower court should have said, you have no standing in this case. You have suffered no injury. No one has asked you to do this.
So is someone fighting, I don't know if I had either discussed this with you or somebody else, is someone fighting it because the case never actually existed? So does the ruling exist?
The ruling exists. The ruling sets a precedent for
but the ruling exists on a case that never actually happened. So that
doesn't matter.
Sort of,
doesn't matter. What they have said essentially is it is perfectly legal to refuse service to people based on sexual identity or sexual orientation.
Yikes.
It's so disgusting. And, you know, of course, the three reasonable justices on the Supreme Court dissented. But just like in the Dobbs decision that rolled back Roe v. Wade, you have this super right-wing conservative supermajority on the Supreme Court, and they are rolling back our basic civil rights and freedoms to the 1950s. It is terrifying. And, you know, again, I'll just say every voice matters, every vote matters. If you have a friend or a family member who's like, oh, I don't care about voting, they're all the same. No, you have to fucking encourage them, set them straight, educate them. Everyone needs to vote and resist this horrific movement that's happening across our country. In a little bit lighter but related story, on July 7th, a Florida judge ruled that a clothing optional gay resort cannot restrict women from staying there or accessing the areas of the resort where guests typically disrobe. This is in Key West, Florida. You know, Key West has these fabulous guest houses, not all of which are gay, but some of them are gay and some of them are clothing optional. And just like the wedding designer, the woman who brought this lawsuit, her name is Amina Chowdhury, would never stay at a clothing optional resort by her own admission. She just wants the right to. So another person with no standing who isn't injured, has no complaint, but just wants to change the ruling. Now, this is not as important, obviously, as the Supreme Court.
But can I ask?
Please.
In this situation, dick dipty ding dong, really? I mean, if a woman wants to show her beaver and her titties, do you really care?
I don't care about the beaver and the titties. I care about, I think it's perfectly fine to have male-only spaces and female-only spaces.
Sure. I think so, too. Yeah.
When I'm at the Eagle and I'm getting my dick sucked and I look to my left and there is a cisgender woman standing there watching us and giggling with her friends, I'm not okay
with
that.
Well, I don't think she should be giggling. And I mean, I think that, you know,
giggling at the size of my dick.
I think that she should be kicked out for that. But I don't think that I wouldn't have a problem. Like, I've been in plenty of spaces where men are not welcome, but it doesn't bother me if a man shows up.
Actually, I think this
but
is.
But I wouldn't show up. That's the
because
point.
Because you're respectful, and most people are. But then there are some people who don't.
I think it's interesting. You go to, like, LA is a place, right, where the gay bars, it's not gay men. It's gay men, lesbian women, or gay women. And there is also straight people. And it's all very intermixed.
Yeah.
And it makes me so uncomfortable.
Why?
Because I think it's to Adam's point. It's like, I feel comfortable when I'm with my own people. I'm sure the same for you. So you're right. So like that idea of like holding a man's hand, even though it's in that space, a safe space, seeing someone that isn't like me makes me uncomfortable.
I want to make a distinction. I go to Reese Beach sometimes.
What's that?
Here in New York.
Oh, Reese Beach.
Jacob Reese.
Yeah.
It is very mixed. There are a lot of queer women. There are a lot of queer men. Everyone's naked. The women are topless. I am 100% okay with that. I'm talking about spaces that are specifically sexual.
Okay. I get that. I do. I get it.
Bars.
And if you're a gay man and or a gay woman and you want to just be around other women or other men and be naked and have the possibility of being sexual with one another, I don't see why we have to integrate those.
I don't think we have to. I can just say, from my perspective, so as a lesbian who's gone into a lot of gay men bars,
yes,
I've not always been made to feel welcome.
Sure,
yeah.
Because, like, sometimes men are...
But, we can be assholes, we know.
But I will say, like, I wanted to be there, and I don't care what guys are doing. If your dick is out and someone's sucking it, I could care less. You go have fun. You do you. Maybe I just want to be there because my friends are there, and
I'm
want to hang out.
I'm much happier to have a lesbian there than, than a straight woman.
Well, straight women in gay bars, I find obnoxious.
Because
they aren't respectful to the spaces. They don't understand the sacred nature of our spaces. We had to make these spaces because we weren't welcome anywhere else. So we created this. This is for us. Yeah. This isn't for you necessarily. Now, if you want to come into our space, I'm fine with it. But you have to be respectful of the fact that this space was created so we could feel safe.
Like the Eagle has three floors, right?
Yep.
The first floor has a big dance floor. I'm perfectly fine seeing women there. There's a rooftop. I'm perfectly fine seeing women there. On the second floor, there are known spaces where people are having sex.
Yeah.
Why do you have to be there? You're not,
maybe
you're not
you like
participating.
Maybe you like what you see.
Yeah, but I don't want to be watched by you.
Okay.
Fair enough. I would agree. I don't want to be watched. However, I will.
I'm not a zoo animal.
But I feel like if you're having sex in a public space, you kind of want to be watched.
I really
maybe
don't.
Maybe not by specific people.
I'm not an exhibitionist. I'm just there because the dick is easy. Because it's right there in front of
me. But you're in a public space, so people are going
to
see it.
Mm.
I do think it's important to note for our listeners that don't know their gay history is that the people that did help create and led the creation of these spaces are lesbians and transgender people.
100%.
And we should put that out there that even though I'm saying what I'm saying, it's not because of mostly gay men, it's because of lesbians.
But I do think straight women are not respectful of gay spaces.
No. And also, who are the gay men that are bringing straight women into the Eagle? Fuck them, too. Yeah.
I mean, I personally like an Eagle. Personally, I met my wife at an Eagle.
Did you really?
Oh. I did.
Are you a leather girl?
No, I was in North Carolina at a Pride event.
Well, that's your first
mistake. And after the event, we went to the Eagle and we told Iris to join us there because she had come to the event late. And we didn't get to see her, so we're like, "Come to the Eagle with us." And we were the only two women in the bar, and it was great. And that's how we met.
Is North Carolina the Eagle? Is that like all 60, 70-year-old denim?
It was really fascinating. So it was kind of an Eagle meets a Charlie's. So like half of it was like Western dancing bar.
Yeah, that's totally what I have in my mind.
And then you go out this door and into the outdoor area where it's more leather and eagly.
Beer.
Yeah.
Odors.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't go out there. We stayed with the country boys.
People that shower, people that are a little bit
and
more mannered.
I liked watching the men dance, honestly. Oh, I love it when men dance together.
Aww.
So here's a real feel-good story.
Okay, we
need
can
all
of those.
Feel good about. And this is from August 1st. There is a drag queen and singer known as Flamey Grant.
Oh. I love her.
Her real name is Matthew Blake. And she sings Christian music. He is a proud gay man. Good for them. Who performs in drag and makes Christian music and has over 80,000 followers on TikTok. TikTok. Thank you. That's how old I am. You know that TikTok app where all the kids are showing their breath mints?
That's more followers than I have.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Okay. There's another Christian artist, a fuckface, whose name appropriately is Sean Fucht or Fucht. F-E-U-C-H-T. He's a singer and preacher best known for hosting maskless concerts during the height of the pandemic to protest government restrictions and claiming that he wants God to take over the government. Well, on July 26th, he posted an article commenting on another Christian singer named Derek Webb, who had had an album release show. And the photo that he posted, this is the homophobe, the photo he posted on his article showed Webb posing with Flamey Grant and a couple other artists. And Fucht wrote, "If you're wondering the end goal of the deconstruction movement in the church, then look no further than former worship leader Derek Webb's new collaboration with a drag queen. These are truly the last days." Well,
the end times are here.
They're here.
Flamey said, "You say that to a drag queen? Baby, what were you thinking? What's going to happen? She's going to run with it." So Flamey went over to her TikTok and began a grassroots campaign amongst her followers to get her song Good Day, which is a queer-affirming worship song off her album Bible Belt Baby, to land on the iTunes Christian charts. And not only did it land on the charts, it went to number one.
Number.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So the number one song on the Christian charts, the iTunes Christian charts, was by Flamey Grant. Briefly. Now, when this story came out, there was a huge fury and anger on the part of right-wing religious folk who all pointed out that iTunes is really not a good measure of Christian music. There are other charts that are more like reputable and more scientific based on the nature of Christian. I don't know.
They don't believe in science.
I don't give a shit. I've never listened to a Christian song, but who cares? She got so much coverage. This was in Rolling Stone. It was picked up by every newspaper and
it's
magazine.
Amazing.
Yeah. Her career is like completely changed forever because of Fucht bitching about her.
If I were her, I would now take on every single chart that they said is more reputable. I'd be like, okay, let's do it on this one.
Absolutely. So if you'd like to do something good for a fellow queer person, download Good Day by Flamey Grant. And follow her on all her socials. And speaking of music, I thought we would do a list story because you know I love a list.
Yay.
And I know the listeners miss the list. So this I came across on, I believe, Queerty. And it's fairly recent. And it's 25 songs from the late 90s and early O's that probably turned you gay. And as I list them, Stephen Romaine will perform them for you.
If I know the song.
Since we're not licensed to play any of the original recordings, we will do our own cover versions. The first is Wannabe by Spice Girls.
If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friend.
I mean, I love that you didn't even, like, I'm like, what is this song?
Oh, you don't know Wannabe?
I do.
Once he started singing, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that song.
I loved the Spice Girls at the time. I saw the movie. I had the album. I was.
Which one was your favorite?
I was a Spice head. Oh, well, Sporty came out with a club song that was very popular that went, "I turn to you like a flower leaning." So I think she was my favorite.
Okay.
She turned you gay.
Who was your favorite?
I like Ginger.
Oh, yeah? You like a ginge?
She just seemed a little crazy, like Crazy Pussy. And I always love Crazy Pussy.
You love
all
crazy
the gingers.
Next on the list is Oops, I Did It Again by Britney.
Oops, I did it again. I played with your heart. Got lost.
He's dancing too. He's doing the dance.
He's got the whole thing.
Baby.
Poor Britney announced this week that, or it was announced for her, that she and her hot as fuck husband, Sam, are getting divorced after only 14 months.
Are we surprised?
No.
This was a bad idea from the get-go. Mm-hmm.
I wish Britney only well, but I don't think she's got it together fully.
No.
I don't think she should be under conservatorship. No. But I think maybe she needs some more support.
Yeah. She's messy. Mm-hmm.
But that song was iconique. And, you know, it's funny. I remember when that song came out, it was like Britney Spears, Mandy Moore, Jessica Simpson's, Simpson, Christina Aguilera, and everyone kind of mashed them all together as the same person. And Britney, out of all of them, emerged as the true enduring icon.
Christina.
Christina's amazing, and she's definitely the better singer. Christina doesn't have the impact culturally that Britney has.
I agree with that.
Fair enough.
The next is It's Gonna Be May by NSYNC, which is the official song of May 1st. Hung Up by Madonna. Now, I'm going to protest. There's plenty of other Madonna songs that made a bigger impact in the 90s and the early O's than Hung Up.
I agree.
I would say Ray of Light.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or Frozen or Music. Or I mean, that whole era was like fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Also, someone who has recently undergone some health issues. I was supposed to see her concert this week.
Girl, don't even get me
started. First time I'm going to a Madonna concert in 25 years. And she gets sick.
I had tickets for Boston for, you know, it's very soon,
I
too.
I know you were a Madonna fan.
I'm a huge
fan.
Madonna fan. I've been a Madonna fan since I was very young. And my whole life I wanted to see Madonna in concert. And then once I became an adult, I was like, no one can stop me. No one.
Wow.
I mean, when I was a teenager, my dad bought me the sex book because I wasn't old enough.
Oh, wow, cool. That's a supportive dad.
He was cool.
It kills me that you were a teenager when the sex book came out, but we'll let that go by. I'm a good deal older than Romaine.
I know. It's okay.
They just announced that they're rescheduling, I think, October?
Yeah, so they just released all the schedules, and I know that the Boston got moved to January, so I'll be seeing her in January now.
Oh, yeah, that's when it is. It's in January. Anyway, they put Hung Up by Madonna. Next on this list, I don't think I know this song. It's C'est la vie by Bewitched.
I have no idea what that song is.
C'est la vie.
It says, C'est la vie had us twirling our pigtails and shaking in our baggy pants, proving that even as kids, we knew how to queen out to a catchy pop tune that featured queer-coded lyrics.
C'est la vie. Da, na, da, na, na, na,
is that it?
I think so.
I think you just sang, as long as you love me.
No. Da, na, na. Hold on. Keep going. I'll find it. Oh, no, we can't play it.
Okay. Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue, which I would argue is the biggest single earworm of all time. This song I love, and I believe this was something of a lesbian anthem, All the Things She Said by Tattoo.
All the things she said. All the things she said. All the things she said. Running through her head. Running through my head.
They were.
Wow, you guys just really gayed out. This might be pretty accurate.
They were a female duo from another country. You don't remember them?
I do. I do remember them.
Here's your Christina Aguilera, Steve. Beautiful.
Beautiful. That was one of her best songs.
Beautiful, Amanda. What to say?
Why are you singing like a Muppet?
That song was produced by Linda Perry, Big Daddy.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
The video was very queer forward too.
Very
wasn't
important
it?
Video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Survivor by Destiny's Child. I love that song. And
I'm a survivor. Yep. I'm gonna make
what?
It. I'm what? A what? Survivor.
What? What? I love that song. And here's my story about that song. So in, I want to say 2000, maybe 2001, I was in Miami Beach for New Year's Eve with a bunch of friends. We were high as fuck. We were at a club dancing. That song came on and suddenly ropes dropped from the ceiling and three women who looked a lot like Destiny's Child started shimmying down the ropes from the ceiling. And I was like, oh my fucking God, they're here. Destiny's Child is here.
Oh my God.
They were not Destiny's Child.
Were they drag queens?
But they were, no, they were, I believe they were cis women. They, who knows? I was really high, but it made an impact on me and I've never forgotten it.
Just say no to drugs.
Say yes to those drugs. Next on
That's
the list,
amazing.
Speaking of closeted gay people, Live and La Vida Loca by Ricky
Live
Martin,
and La Vida Loca, da, da,
which was a phenomenon.
Yeah. That's the song that really made him a huge star. Uh-huh.
And made Latin music go mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He really changed
the
game.
I'll never forget that Grammy performance that
no
he did.
No one will.
Those tight leather pants.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
He was straight then.
Yep. I got blonde highlights because of him.
Oh, wow. Were they orange?
Or were they were
blonde?
A little orange.
Yeah, a little orange. The bleach wasn't as good back then.
Yeah. Here's a song that I absolutely loved in college, Freedom 90 by George Michael. Freedom.
Oh, I love that song.
I won't let you down. Mm-hmm. Will not give you up. Mm. Gotta have some faith in the sound. It's the one good thing that I've got. It's the one, the video, he's not in the video, but it's all these supermodels from the 90s.
It's great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Here's one I know you both know. Believe by Cher.
If you could believe in love after love.
After love.
I think my voice just cracked.
After love. I don't know what just happened to your voice.
I'm sad myself. I really got going.
Steve is having a stroke, I think. I'm a little worried about you. Okay, next up, this was a song we definitely danced our asses to on the dance floor. It's Not Right, But It's Okay by Whitney Houston. Mm,
that's not right. That's okay. I'm gonna something.
How do you
everywhere.
Not know this by heart?
I don't know the key. That's why I don't like.
It's the ultimate kiss off mm-hmm. song.
Is it?
She's ditching her man because he's cheating on her and lying to her.
Yep.
Mm. It's dedicated to Bobby Brown. Ding. this next song I don't like because I don't particularly care for this artist, but it's "Man, I Feel Like a Woman" by Shania Twain. Twain.
Let's go, girls.
He really knows this one.
Made an impact on Steve. Okay, this next song I absolutely loved in college, and this was one of my coming out anthems, Together Again by Janet Jackson.
Every time when I look down at neon, then I see your arms around me, baby.
That album was one of her best.
Oh, so great.
It was so good. And the video with Antonio Banderas. No, not Antonio Banderas. Who's that Latin star who is now a Trumper?
Ooh.
Anthony Zapato Jr., Antonio Zapato Jr. Anyway, he's in the video looking hot, but he's now a fuckface. Mm. Nothing in This World by Paris Hilton. I have no idea what this song is.
Girl, please. That they're going to put a Paris Hilton song on there? Well, can she even sing?
There was one decent Paris Hilton song that went like, even if the stars are crazy, even if the stars are blind. But I don't know what Nothing in This World is. Mm. This one absolutely belongs on the list. It was also one of my college coming out songs. Supermodel, You Better Work by the one and only RuPaul.
Yeah. RuPaul.
This next one I've never heard of, Upside Down by A-Teams.
Upside Down. Is it that one?
You think it was a cover of the Diana Ross song?
I think so. That's what A-Teams was. It was a cover band. They mostly did ABBA, right?
You're shaking your head like
I have no idea.
A-Teams was an ABBA cover band.
Steve was a child during this time, so he may be the most
knowledgeable.
Candy by Mandy Moore.
I don't know remember that one.
Another Dumb Blonde by Hoku. No idea.
No idea.
This next one was big. Intuition by Jewel.
Okay.
Follow your heart, your intuition. It will lead you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't remember how that one went.
A Public Affair by Jessica Simpson.
Nope.
I remember the name of the song, but I don't remember how it went. Fantasy by Mariah Carey. I've never been a Mariah Carey fan. Don't know that one. Mm-mm. And the last one, I loved this song. And shout out to the late, great Lisa Left Eye Lopez. It's Waterfalls by TLC.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
I love TLC.
Please stick to the rivers.
It was such a good song. They were wonderful.
You know who we're missing? Selena Quintanilla.
Yes.
Come on. What was the... Wow. I just name dropped and can't even think of the name.
You tell us.
Yeah. You tell us.
Fuck.
In love.
Late at night when all... No, a different song.
Anyway,
wow!
I think we've sung enough for the next 7 months. I don't think anyone ever wants to hear us sing again.
Notice I didn't sing on any of those.
No, and you can actually sing, Romaine.
I was smart.
All right, well, let's finish off the hour with this story. And this is really a story that's better seen than heard about on the radio. But it's still fun. The headline is, video shows naked man attack people at Miami gym. And throughout Midtown streets. This is back on May 17th. The story was recently picked up by Boy Culture, which is a blog run by our friend Matthew Rettenmond. I recommend it highly. The video shows, and here's what's amazing about this story. someone had a camera on this guy throughout this entire ordeal. I don't know if it was multiple people or the same person followed him from point A to point B to point C, but it starts in the inside a gym. People are working out. It's a normal thing. And all of a sudden there's a naked man, buck naked, nice looking, great body, rather small penis, but okay. You know, it's pretty.
All right. He was on drugs. Maybe it just got a little small.
Clearly high as fuck. And he's assaulting people. He's getting in people's faces. He's like punching people. And this was at UFC gym in Midtown, Miami. One man was taking a boxing class when he suddenly, the naked man was taking a boxing class when he suddenly unclothed and started attacking and punching other people.
No, is he having a mental breakdown, do we think, or is he like high on meth?
The boxing coach said he was a little off. According to assistant general manager Ray Lopez, he wasn't hitting the bag as usual. This is all still a quote from Ray Lopez. The member walked his way downstairs and he was just acting very bizarre. Gym staff quickly tried to control the man, but he kept fighting back. He was just becoming dangerous, said Lopez. So at that point, the coaches picked him up and took him out. Once on the street, he continued punching random people, including an older man in a wheelchair.
Oh my God.
That's not cool. Eventually, police showed up and tased him. And this is still all in the video. You see him getting tased and he literally, there's no reaction. It's like he doesn't feel the tasing at all.
He's a fucking run and find out type guy.
He just keeps walking and running and he's on foot and these police cars are chasing him down the street. Police officers are chasing him on the street. This is all happening in, you know, plain view of the public. And finally,
he's still fully naked.
Fully naked the whole time. I mean, in Miami, it's always warm. So there is that. But
here's what I don't understand about this story. He was in a UFC gym.
Yes.
Those guys are tough. They couldn't subdue him.
I think the nakedness threw people off.
Really? Have you ever watched UFC? Those guys are basically gay ass fucking all the time. Like, oh, my balls are right up your nose. Like, I cannot believe that those guys would have problems with a naked dude. They're literally sniffing each other's jocks
every day. We need a new romaine drop where she goes, "Ooh, my balls are right up your nose." Well,
if we had a show, that could be one of our bumpers. But
yes,
sadly.
Exactly. Well, Steve was looking for the video earlier, and he could only find the censored version. But the uncensored version is out there on social media. I think on Reddit, you said.
Leave us a rating review, and Adam will send it to you, and
yes,
also me.
Absolutely. And so that's basically our show. This has been a huge pleasure, but I have to say, as much as I miss doing this, I'm glad I don't have to do it every week anymore.
It's a lot of work.
It's exhausting.
So, you know, since you were last doing your show weekly, I've started doing a weekly show. So I do the Dildo Whisperer now.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, before I was like, oh, I really want to do the Dildo Whisperer as a weekly show. And now I'm like, oh my God, it's so much work. Like, it's so much work to do an additional show on top of my day-to-day show. It's wild. It's a lot. People do not know. It's a lot of work.
Well, I cannot thank you enough, Romaine, for coming all the way in.
Of course. I'm happy to.
Setting up this little mobile studio.
Isn't this great?
It's fantastic. And thank you to you too, Steve. I'm glad you found time in your busy celebrity schedule to come in.
Well, as you see, I've literally been texting the entire time and have silenced 7 phone calls.
There you go. So, Romaine, you can play the closing music,
okay.
And I will just say thank you for listening. Subscribe to the Derek and Romaine Show. They're still on the air 5 days a week. At dnrstudios.com. Go book one of their cruises. They are so much fun. And unlike Atlantis cruises, people will be nice to you. Don't forget to order your ass merch at adamsank.com. Follow me on Instagram and Threads, my verified account at adamsank, and on TikTok at adamsankofficial. Email me anything you want at adam@adamsank.com. Don't forget to buy tickets to my one-man show, Bad Dates. Information available at adamsank.com. Go to ronnielarson.com for the Wilton Manor shows. Steve, any plugs?
You can follow me unverified at Steve Cesar Medina on Facebook and Cub Mexi on Instagram.
Love you both. Bye.